studied and he had put himself to great efforts. He not only was a master of the revealed Torah, he also was a person who knew a great deal of Kabbalah, and he followed a Kabbalistic view of the world and a Kabbalistic bent regarding the world. Now, at the time of the Besht, he was born in 1698, when he was 34 years old is when he went public with the Hasidic movement. So that would be 1732. At the time of the Besht, in the early 1700s, we had a phenomenon that existed in Eastern Europe among Polish and Russian Jews, a phenomenon that existed among the non-Jewish world and in the Jewish world also. And those were traveling groups of pious people. Much as in the Middle Ages, there were groups of penitents, people who felt they had to do penance for sins that they had done during their lifetime. So they would march from town to town. I discussed that with you, the flagellants. They used to whip themselves and draw blood and work themselves into a frenzy. Well, in the Middle Ages, those people attracted a great deal of riffraff, and instead of it being a pious group, it ended up being a completely immoral, illicit, robbing, murdering, pillaging type of group, until they finally were banned by the governments, by the noblemen, and the populace was protected from. However, in the early 1700s, throughout Russia, and in Russia there is even till today a tradition of a wandering holy man, and this wandering holy man can do no wrong because people are afraid to look in his eyes. We'll discuss that when we get to the part about Rasputin and his role and with the last Russian Tsar. But the concept of a traveling wandering holy person was part and parcel of Eastern European society. And as it was part and parcel of Eastern European non-Jewish society, it also found a place in Eastern European Jewish society. And in the early 1700s, there were groups of such holy men that traveled amongst the Jewish people who, as penance for their sins, never slept twice in the same bed, moved on every night, who subjected themselves to torture and to hunger and to pain, and most of the time to early death, but who were viewed as holy people. And most of these people delved in the Kabbalah, were Kabbalists, and they wrote amulets, as I discussed with you, the problem of amulets when we discussed Rabbi Yonos and Abishitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Kameas, amulets, they wrote them and distributed them. People who had problems, well, they waited for the holy man to come to town. And these holy people served especially in the smaller Jewish communities where there were no great scholars and where no one would come. Visitors never showed up. I mean, there was no reason to go to any of these small towns. And here, all of a sudden, this band of holy people appeared, or one holy person appeared. So that made an impression. Usually the impression lasted the entire lifetime of the people who lived in that village or lived in that community. And these traveling bands of holy people gained great popularity. And even though we find veiled criticisms of them,